And everything which she just sung about right there, one day it's going to be a reality to each and every one of us. And we're going to, when we get home, Dad in heaven, we're going to come find out that what we was doing down here, that we just come to find out that we didn't really do nothing because of the beauty that heaven is going to be like, and all the people there that are so happy. That's the thing that I think a whole lot of people are missing today. So many today, they're not happy. They're so bogged down with the world, and they're so bogged down with this and that, that they cannot even concentrate. They cannot even concentrate on the things that they need to concentrate on. And I know that because I've been through it sometimes. But I'm just so thankful that I have a God in heaven that loves me and is not willing for me to really put my own self on the shelf. And I know we've heard it in times past. We've heard it from preachers and pastors and even evangelists and even Christians itself speak about, well, to be speaking about somebody else's. They just kind of walked away from the Lord and everything. They may come up and say, well, you know, the Lord had put them up on the shelf. The Lord don't want to use them no more. I believe that that's one of the biggest lies that the devil has. Is telling God's people that God don't want to use them no more. No, God wants to use us all. Because, you know, we can't focus just on everything. One individual can't focus on everything. Oh, yes, we want to try. We want to try to see if we can't fix this and fix that and everything. But we can't do it. That's the reason we need to have other people that will help us on that. But sometimes I wonder why people get in the shape that they are in. And it's because that they try to do too much. And we can end up doing too much. And when we end up doing too much, we'll get burned out. And the first thing I believe that within the Christian that gets burned out is the mind. Because the mind itself cannot focus on the right things. So in saying that, I want you to turn to the book of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And y'all know all these verses. You can probably quote them. And not even miss one word or one period or nothing. But you can quote them verbatim. But it's more into it than what we could just look at it and see what is into it. But if our mind, if we do too much, if we get too involved, and I'm not saying by getting too involved, I'm not saying that we should not get involved in Christian things, but I'm saying we should not get so involved in it that we don't want to go out here and speak to anybody else. We don't want to go out here and speak to these people because they don't live the life that we're living. I wasn't living the life that I'm living today when I was lost. But I had to come to know Jesus so I could start living that life. And the only way I could live that life is through Him. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that He is a forgiving God. He is a renewing God. And He is a God of all. He knows all. He knows everything about me. And one thing about it, He don't tell nobody nothing. He don't go around and spread the rumors about me or anything like that, like other people do. He don't do that. Like He says though in the book of Luke, I believe it is, talking about where Jesus was speaking to Peter there and Simon Peter, and He said, you know, Satan come to the Lord and they said, Lord, and it's the same devil, the same Satan and everything. They come to the Lord Jesus that day is the same one that come to God the Father in the day of Job. That, you know, he said, God, he says, would you allow me to have Job a little while? I mean, I don't know exactly how he put it, but he wanted Job. And Job, and then God says, okay. He says, you can have Job. You can have him a little while. You can have him a month or two. You can have him 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. If it would take, you can have him. But you cannot take his life. That's the only thing that you cannot do, is take his life. And so in thinking about that, the devil can't take our life. If we give our life up, if we give it, we don't give it up because the devil wants it. Yeah, he wants it, but we don't give it up because that he's in need of it. Because I do not believe that we serve a different God than Job served. Because, see, in God's sight, we're all righteous. And if you're righteous, you have the blood of Jesus on your heart and in your life. And you think about Him. You think about that blood. You think about the cleansing. You think about the blood that cleanses white as snow. Now, you tell me how you can take... you can take a sheet, or you can take the linen cloth of the garment that we had down here Sunday night, and take the communion. It's just as white. But if we take and we took a pint or quart, or a gallon of blood and just took it and sprinkled all over it, and then took it and balled it up and stuck it in that gallon jug and kind of rub it together and everything. You think that we can take it and pull that out and that linen cloth that was white comes out as pure white? I don't believe it's no kind of detergent out there that will take that out completely and make it white as snow again. I don't believe there's no detergent. But see, God took the blackness of my heart. He took the condemnation of my life. He took the sin that I was holding on to there, and I was keeping close to my vest. Didn't want to give it up. Didn't want to give it up, and knowing that if I gave it up, it would just be replaced with something else. God does not ask us to give up anything. The only thing God does, He just replaces it. And He replaces it with the same thing that you're going against right then. You're going against the sin because an individual just gets saved and everything. What does the devil do? The devil goes and attacks them. He tells them, well, what you just done, says, it's just emotional. You truly didn't get saved. Why would God want somebody like you? The same reason, the same God that wanted Paul. We the same individual as Paul was. Oh, we may not have committed the same type of crime, but we were still guilty. We were still on our way to hell. And that there's no degrees in hell, like some say. Some say, well, if you do this, I believe at certain degrees, in certain places, in hell you're going at. No, I don't think so. Because He does not teach that. He teaches about hell. And when He teaches about hell, and when His book says something about hell, and when Paul preaches on hell, and when John preached on hell, or in the book of Revelations and everything, what did he say? What did they say? They said an individual that goes to hell, they're going to be up against the worms. The worms that they have that's going to be attacking their body. Now, Brother Bill, I know you've got pain. I know that. But that pain that you have, that wouldn't be nothing compared to somebody in hell with the worms just all over the body. Because, see, that's irritation. See, that works on your mind. And we can allow things to work on our mind. And we can allow sin to work on us too. We can allow certain things that we're up against to work on our minds. Here lately, I've been battling with something. I don't know what else to pray for. I'm still praying for the same thing because that's the only thing I know what to do. And that's His church. And I've asked God, I said, God, I want you to search my life out. Ever what it is, I want you to search my life out from the bottom of my feet, from the sole of my feet to the top of my head. Search it out. If there's something else there that I need to change in my own life to where people would want to come in. Not come in because of me, but I don't want to be in the way of anybody coming to church. I don't want to be in the way of anybody getting saved. If I'm the reason for it, for somebody not to get saved, then I ask the Lord Jesus tonight to take me home. Take me out of this world, because I don't need to be here. And I mean that. That is from my heart. And I said, Lord, I says, I've been there going on almost 4 or 4.5 years now. And Lord, it don't seem like anything is happening because people just don't want to come. Oh, you go out and invite them. And we all have. We went out and invited people. And they said, well, yeah, I'll see you next Sunday. And I said, Lord, would you reveal unto me what year that Sunday is in? Because it's not the next Sunday. And Father, I know what they're facing. I've read in the book. They facing hell. We see right here in John chapter 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Why is our hearts troubled today? I believe our heart is in trouble today, and it's troubling because we don't think that we are doing enough. We don't think that we can do anything. And we just do not think that there's going to be any change taking place. I disagree. I disagree. Because the same God that I serve, the same God that saved me, and the same God that I serve, He keeps me. And the same God that I serve wants me to continue doing His work. Hey, how you doing? And the same God that I serve today is the same God that Job served. And Job was a righteous individual. The same God that I serve today is the same God that John the Baptist served. The same God that Peter served. The same God that John on the Isle of Patmos, he served. But we have to get things in order. Who are we serving? Are we serving ourselves? Are we serving the people in church? Are we serving our families? Or are we serving God? We're going to serve one or the other. One or the other. If we put anything else in front of serving God, then we're serving an idol. An idol that cannot help us. An idol that cannot even show us the right way to go. Because see, my God still lives. He still lives today. Like He did back in 2,000 years ago. He still lives today like He did over 6,000 years ago. He still lives today. How do I know? Because He lives right here. Wherever I go, He goes with me. Some places, yes, that I've been into, really wasn't right for me to go into. But then I got to thinking about what Jesus done. And where Jesus would go. And the people that Jesus would go and see. Jesus wouldn't just go to the church or the synagogue and just see the people there that come to worship God and to see them pray. No, because God, see, Jesus knew that. Jesus knew what they was doing. But he wanted to go out there to where that harlot was. He wanted to go and meet that woman at the well. He wanted to go and meet that man on the road to Damascus, Paul. He wanted to go and meet Peter when Peter was put in prison. He wanted to meet Peter's mother, grandmother. He wanted to meet them. But people today, I don't know what it is. They don't love God. People that come up to me and say, well, I love God. I stay at home. I stay at home and I hear preaching on Sunday. No, you're not hearing no preaching on Sunday. The only thing you're hearing is just a man up there just reading off of what he wants from you. And that's more money. Yes, more money. They're driving Rolls Royces like Joel Osteen. I mean, here he is down in Texas. And he's got that great big mega church there. And you don't hear hardly anything at all about going to hell. You don't hear anything hardly from him at all. I've listened to it, and I've listened to it, and I've tried to kind of come in with it and see where maybe now he's going to preach on salvation. Now he's going to bring up salvation. No, he don't know bring up salvation. He comes up and says, God, the God that we serve, he wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to have this. He wants us to have that. He wants us to have the very best. He wants me to drive the very best automobile. He wants me to live in the finest mansion that there is. He wants me to have $100 bills in my back pocket. He wants me to wear these $1,000 suits and everything. No, God don't. God don't want you to live or wear them $1,000 suits. God don't want you to drive that Rolls Royce. God don't want you to live in the finest house that there is. I'm going to ask you this. And I would love to ask them, I says, why do you find it in the Word of God that that's what God want for your life? When he was not even born in a hotel or a motel room, he was born in a cow stable. He was born in a place where the cattle that fed the hungry, that's where his mother laid him after she gave birth to him. Laid him in that stall where the cattle that come in and the grain that they were feeding on was in that cradle there. And they was taking their tongue and they was licking up the feed. And they would be licking it and the cows and everything, and they would be chewing the cud and all of that. And the next thing you know, you see them, I mean, they slobber. Oh, they slobber terribly. I mean, they really do. And got all that slobber in them. Do you think you think the innkeeper up there give Mary and give Joseph a bucket with a brush to where when they went down there, to where Mary, when she when she give birth, that she could lay that baby. And I cradled where the cows fed from. No, they didn't have that. Only thing she could do, she was probably in so much pain, just like today. She says, "You want to lay him right here for a little while?" And she laid him right there, with the filth of what went on in that day. Just think about a minute. What kind of filth that Jesus went into, and the type of filth that Jesus seen. And he did not turn around and go back out, because his purpose was to go in there, tell people about him. Tell people about heaven, and tell people about his Father. That's what he was all about. That's what we need to be all about. We need to be all about telling people about what Jesus Christ has done for me. And not just me, for them also. We need to tell them, hey, Jesus died for you. You may not believe it, but he did. He died just for you. And you can turn over to John 3:16 and you can quote the verse there, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all man would have everlasting and eternal life." No, he just didn't put my name in there. He put mine. He put yours. He put yours. He put everybody's name right there in the same verse. Whosoever. That whosoever. Speaking of individuals. But just think. This song. This Sister Betty song. The last song. Talking about that mansion. A mansion there in heaven that I'm longing to see. I'm ready tonight. Are you? I really am. I'm ready tonight. But I know that I'm not going tonight. We sit down and says, "How do you know that?" You say you're not going tonight, but then you say you're ready to go. I said, "I am. I'm ready to go." I said, "But I'm not going tonight." How do I know that? By scripture. I will go when the time comes up that he wants me to go. And as long as I have individuals on my heart that's lost and have no hope at all, and they're looking for that place called hell, as long as I have that in my heart, as long as I want to see them saved, I don't believe the God that we serve wants to take us home. Because it's few and far between today. The harvest is ready. In the next few months, you're going to see all the land through the country and everything. where people's going to be getting the land together, to where they can plant stuff, plant gardens, and they can plant tobacco and plant wheat and all of that. But yet, in planting all of that, they are looking for the harvest of it. They're looking to where all the beans that they had planted, into the tomatoes, the corn, and all of that, they're waiting for that to burst forth from the ground and to come forth to where people can see what God is doing. Hey, it's been a while since I've seen, or since I've even heard, of an individual giving their heart and their life over to Jesus. It's been a long time. It shouldn't be that long. Here at Faith Baptist Church, it should not go a week without somebody saying, "Preacher, says I've got a praise report." And they stand up and says, "You know the individual that we've been praying for? Yeah. I just heard they got saved." Whether they get saved here or not, yeah, I'd love for them to come in. I'd love to come in and sit down and hear the message and have the Holy Spirit to draw them to Jesus, and Jesus saved our soul, and then they come down to an old-fashioned altar and they pray to God and ask Him to forgive them of our sin and serve, and want to serve Him and stay in church. But then it's going to be up to us. They done all they can do. What do you mean? What do you mean they've done all they can do? They can do a lot more. They can go ahead and start visiting people. When's the last time that you ever seen a mother and a father take that 1-month-old child to a family member home that you, it's been a while since you've seen, they haven't seen their baby yet. And you take that baby to their home. You take them to that home. You won't say anything at all about Jesus. You won't tell them, say, "Look what Jesus has done. He's given us this child. And we've asked Jesus to give us something to help him raise that child in the name of the Lord." No. You don't hear that no more. How many times do you ever hear people come in and bring the children into church that just been born or something like that, and when they can take them out, then bring them to the church, the pastor says, "You know, I know it's the first time I've said anything to you about it, but I would love for you here at the church, in the church, I would be able to love to dedicate my little girl or my little boy. I want to dedicate them to the Lord." You don't hear that anymore. Why? You tell you the reason why? Because mama and daddy don't care. Mama and daddy don't care what kind of life that child lives. They just don't care. And it's left to us to care for them and to love them. It's a shame that the church is just about at the point, probably, of having to get license to be a daycare center. because that's what a whole lot of parents do. They'll bring the kids to church. They'll leave them at church where they can go back home. They can drink. They can do anything they want. But the child's at church. And the whole time they thinking, well, my child's in church. That's a good church down there. They teach the Bible. They teach what's wrong, what's right. But I want to ask you something. If you bring a child to church, if you bring a child to church just one Sunday a month or one Sunday a week, and that child's in church, and even though you are in there, if you really don't know in your heart the reason you got the child there in church, then the rest of the week where you don't show up at church, you don't show up for anything but the things that you want to do, then your child is going to end up coming to church on Sunday. But then after Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the rest of the week, they're going to be little devils. They're going to be what they call today hellions. It's not right. It's not right. Because see, that child don't know what to do. That child right there don't know what to do no more than that 60-year-old individual that comes and walks forward and bows their head at the altar and asks Jesus Christ to save our soul. Because that 60-year-old individual that done that, first of all, they come as a little child. That's what the Bible says. You must come as a little child with a childlike faith. And when you do all of that, then you can say to yourself, there's Jesus. But how's he going to learn if we, the people in church, and say, well, you know, I've seen them around town. And I've heard some things about him. I just don't believe he's sincere enough. If we say that about him, what does he say about us that's in church 3 and 4 times a week? I visited. What is he saying about us? He said, you know something? That preacher, he just went over to my neighbor's house the other week. Went over there and he talked to him. He just had a good conversation with him. Just asked him how he was doing and everything. And then the preacher finally asked him, he said, are you saved? You go to church in a while. He said, but you know something? The same preacher that went over and seen him, he hasn't stopped at my house. He hasn't stopped at my house because my house is not painted like his house is. My yard don't look as good as his yard. That's the reason he don't stop. What does that say about us? I think it says a whole lot about us. We ain't got no business even going out there and proclaiming the name of Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, he was saying this to the Father. This was Jesus speaking to the Heavenly Father. And he's telling the Father, I am the way. And I am the truth. And the life, where no man cometh unto the Father except by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No man cometh unto the Father. But by him. By him, and that's when they have, where their eyes and where their hearts has met and has contacted, been in contact with each other. He done exactly what the Father wanted him to do. Everything that he done, he done it for the Father. Is everything that we do is for the Lord? And is it for the Father? And is it for the Holy Spirit? If it's not, then I think individuals, they need to get in their little closet where they will not be disturbed by no telephone. They will not be disturbed by no TV. And they will not be disturbed by the children. They'll go home and they'll get in that closet. And the family will know when they get in that closet, or when they get in that one room and they shut that door. When the door is completely shut, that is a sign. You do not bother me at any cost. You do not bother me. I do not take phone calls. I do not want to even see anybody. The only one that I want to speak to is my elder brother, Jesus Christ. I sure am glad he's away. I sure am glad it's not out of nowhere that where I says, well, Donnie, you know, if you do this, if you do that and everything, you know, you'll have your final say-so. You'll have your way. You'll have a way to get to heaven. No, I don't have no final say-so. Even the Lord Jesus don't have a final say-so. God the Father, he has a final say-so. See, that's the only thing that was not revealed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's his return. The Father kept it to himself. He kept it to himself. Why did the Father keep it to himself? I believe it's this. He knew his Son had been down here on this earth. He knows his Son has seen sin and has come up against sin face to face. And he'd been tempted by Satan. And he'd been tempted by other people that was following him but would deny him to other people. You see, the Father never knew sin. He didn't know no sin. That's the reason that we have Satan. That's the reason that heaven does not have all the angels that was there at first. Why? Because Lucifer, what he want? He wanted to be just like God. Matter of fact, he probably wanted to be better than God. And God said, no way. No way. You gone. You gone. I believe the Lord just took his foot. He took his foot off of the footstool. And he just gave him a good old kick. And he says, there you go, bud. There you go. And hell is going to be created just for you. And your followers. Can you imagine hell being created for me? Can I imagine that? No, I can't imagine that. It wasn't created for me. It wasn't created for you. It was created for Lucifer and his cohorts that he had. His angels, because he defied God. He turned his back on God. And he wanted to have it all. And God said, no way. No way. If that's the way you want it, then you can have your own place. I'll give you a place to where you can be over. And Lucifer, he probably got all excited. He said, Lord, now God is going to give me a place of my own. I mean, hallelujah. He's going to give me a place all of my own. And I'm going to be over it. I'm going to be in charge of it. And Lucifer, I'm just paraphrasing all this. Because I don't know what he said. I said, well, Lucifer probably said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, you're going to create a place just for me to where I can be over it, where I can be the head honcho. See, yes, you sure are. And if people don't get straight, you're going to have plenty of people he's going to be serving you. He said, what's the name of this place? Or can I pick a name for it? Can I pick a name for it? Like you picked the name of heaven and then earth, can you allow me to pick a name for it? God says, nope. I'm not going to pick a name for it. It already has a name. And that name is hell. And you can either go there and be lonely the rest of your life, or you can do the same thing that you've been trying your very best up here to do. To get people to say no to me. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I ask now that you will just take the message, Father. Father, I believe it was for the hour. Father, because you didn't want to give me the message. I did not even think about the message. I did not even ponder on even going to that book. I thank the Holy Spirit for giving me each and every word that I said. And I pray, oh Father, if there's one word that I did say and I said it in the wrong way or anything, Lord, I'm asking for thy forgiveness. And God, that you'd help me to my, I may be able to pronounce the words the right way. And I may deliver them. Oh, Father, the way that you want. Now, God, I pray now for each one of the individuals that's here tonight. Lord, I pray even for the visitor that come in. I pray, Lord Jesus, that maybe they heard of something that they've never heard before. Lord, that yes, that they would maybe want to give our life to Jesus. And Father, we ask now that you would go with each one of us and help us to follow you, not to follow ourselves, and not me to follow someone else here in the church, but for me to follow thee, Lord. And Father, we just want to give you thanks, and we want to give you praise for what you've done. Thank you for the blessings you provided this past week, Father. We thank you for our families. And Father, for the family members that's lost. Oh, Lord God, if we can't reach them, send somebody there. The Father that maybe can reach them. Father, because I don't want to see them die and go to hell, but that's where they're going now. Unless something changes. We do thank you for this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we all pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.